Award-winning multidisciplinary artist and author Niloufar Talebi has created a new opera inspired by the iconic Iranian poet Ahmad Shamlu's poetry. The name of the opera, Abraham in Flames, is borrowed from the title of Shamlu's 1974 book of poems. She says one of the reasons she embarked on the project was to introduce Shamlu's rich body of work to new audiences through projects inspired by him.
The title of Abraham in Flames is taken from the iconic Iranian poet Ahmad Shamlu's 1974 seminal book of poems by that same name, Ibrahim Dar Atash in the Persian, which translates into Abraham in Flames. And that story, that metaphor, is taken from the biblical story of young Abraham, who broke the idols in his family's store and then was questioned by the king of Babylon, Nimrod, as to why he doesn't believe in the idols. And Abraham said that those idols are false and that the only God is the one true God. The king of Babylon condemned him to burn in a fire, and Abraham was thrown into the fire and asked of nothing. And instead of burning, he sat in the fire and only his chains burned, and he walked out of the fire, face illuminated like gold. This is a universal metaphor for believing in one's truth and standing up for it. So Shamlu used this metaphor to write a book of poems to people like Che Guevara and many other freedom fighters, Iranian and international, who stand against despots and give their lives up for standing up for their truths. So our opera is taken from that metaphor. Mm.
Ahmad Shamlu is one of the greatest cultural figures of the 20th century in Iran, and arguably one of the most influential in the world. But not much is known about this important cultural figure in the West. He was a great translator. His life was also devoted to struggles for social justice. He translated the works of great poets like Pablo Neruda, García Lorca, Nazem Hikmet. Tell us about his work and what drew you to his poetry.
Ahmad Shamlu was born in 1925 and he died in the year 2000. He basically is known, he's a poet, translator, as you said, encyclopedist, cultural critic, essayist, on and on and on. One of his major contributions was to draw from the aesthetics and different artistic movements internationally to foment a revolution in Iranian poetics. And what that meant was that he continued the work that his predecessor had begun, Nima Yushich, in the beginning part of the 20th century, to break with the rhyming schemes and formal patterns of classical Persian poetry in order to create a modernist voice for Iranian poetics. Ahmad Shamlu took that task and that vision all the way to free verse and broke with all tradition. What drew me to his poetry is that I had the great fortune that he attended my parents' home when I was a teenager in Tehran after the revolution, and I got to know him personally and watch his magic and his personality and his charisma and his work firsthand, and be the recipient of many gifts of book and music and other works of international art from him personally. So he's somebody who has shaped not only an entire culture, but also my own life personally. About 7 years ago, I had the vision to do a book and an opera inspired by his very cinematic and dramatic life and his staggering poetry. And so now, 7 years later, we have a book, which is called Self-Portrait in Bloom, which is a hybrid nonfiction that I wrote that contains an entire book of translations of his poetry by myself in it, as well as a portrait of his life and work. And then the opera is, as we mentioned, called Abraham in Flames, and that's coming up in a few weeks.
Why did you decide to pick this specific poem for your opera?
The notion of believing in our truths and standing up for it has always resonated with me as an immigrant, as an artist, as a woman. And it's also resonated with my collaborators, the composer Alexandra Rybalov, who is the composer of the opera, as well as my other collaborator, the dramaturg and director Roy Rallo. The three of us are creating the opera together. There were also a lot of obstacles that I personally had to overcome in the seven-year journey to do the translation and to write the book and to create the opera. I'm not only creating the opera, but I'm also commissioning and presenting it, which is a gargantuan task. It's been a full-time task for the last 7 years. And I wanted to just relate this notion. I wanted to sort of distill all stories into its core, which is the truth versus fear, fear of the truth. So really the story is very shamanistic and it's very epic and very much like a very basic fairy tale that tells the story through a young woman's chorus who is cast as the lead character of an opera. And this is unusual as well. This is the way we've broken with tradition. So, and then the five soloists around them represent the angel and poet and other characters, internal aspects of us that taunt this young woman's chorus, these 41 singers, and to, you know, find their truth, believe in it or not believe in it, give it up or not give it up. And the, you know, the rest of that shall be seen when you see the opera. But that's always resonated as a fundamental question. Another thing that resonated that went into the story of the opera is an anecdote about how Shamlu and his wife Ida came to buy the last home that they owned in the outskirts of Tehran in the village Karaj. The story goes, as Ida recounts it, that they saw this home, they saw this great big evergreen tree in its front yard, and they fell in love with it and they bought the home for the sake of the tree. Fast forward several years, one night there's a very loud noise in the middle of the night, and in the morning they discover that the tree has been shattered by lightning. And when Shamlu sees this scene, he famously says, "Ida, the tree is gone and I am going to die too." And then he dies shortly thereafter. So this sort of really resonated with me as the tree, as a figure, a symbol of something otherworldly that we believe in. The image of Abraham walking through fire, literally, all came together with this very, very big question that I really delve into in my book that my father asked me at the time I knew Shamlu. I was a young girl, and he asked me this very big question, which has become the main question of the opera that starts the opera and sets these young women on their journey, on their hero's journey, to find and insist on their truths and what that takes. The opera is immersive, so the singers and the viewers are all together on one level on the floor. And there are about 55 performers in this work. And it's just a very, very intense 70-minute, one-act musical and theatrical and performative experience that happens without any intermission. It's going to be very special. And again, as I said, it's very shamanistic the way we've imagined it and we're creating it. Shortly after, about a year or two after, I began the process of laying down the idea for a project, an opera project, I was met with an act of vicious sabotage that I write about in the book that really halted my project of translating Shamlu's work and incorporating those translations into the libretto and the story of the opera. And that act of violence, really, that act of silencing really halted me and affected my health. And really destroyed me for about a year. Once I was able to sort of come back to life from, you know, what seemed like the edge of death, I resumed work, and I knew that I was even more resolved than ever to bring this, as you mentioned, iconic poet who is not well known in the West, but who is a world-class cultural figure, not only to the Persian people and the Persian culture, but on the world stage. I wanted to bring him in many different formats, in translation, you know, within a literary framework, which is a book, as well as with performative and multimedia projects, to the attention of Western readers and viewers. And as a result of doing these projects, I mean, I usually do a literary project in conjunction with a performative project. I've been doing this sort of pairing for, I don't know, the past 20 years or so with each of my books. So as a result of doing an opera, you know, not only do I bring this work to my collaborators who are all Western, and by the way, 95% women, I have a team of women working on this project, but also to their audiences and to their friends and families. So the vision of bringing his work and all the works that I translate, you know, in a larger framework, which is a cultural translation, is being realized, but at great, great cost to me personally. But what makes me happy is that my collaborators, you know, Renee Rapier, who sings the poet character, our American soprano Renee Rapier, she's learning about Shamlou's work. And I've, you know, just yesterday read her the 4 or 5 poems from which the libretto has been reimagined and remixed and reintegrated, and, you know, the imagery in the opera. And she was moved, you know, we're all moved to tears from the works of Ahmad Shamlou and his incredible legacy. And I'm so, so proud to be able to bring his work and his legacy to the attention of a much, much larger public, as he so deserves.
And what do you want people to come away with after seeing this opera?
That all of us share so much, that there is a unity in our humanity, which is exactly what Shamlou believed in as well, that his works in translation and in multiple translations, even by other translators, hopefully in the future, should be read as the works of Neruda are, that breaking with tradition and creating new operas with new models is a possibility, that, you know, taking on the creation of an opera as one person with a very small and incredibly hardworking team is a possibility, and that we want to come out of this cultural invisibility. You know, the works of Iranian literature, literary figures, is scarcely available in translation. Mm-hmm. But this invisibility, there's a reason for it, and there are ways to combat it and to bring our forces together and to share our shared human culture together across borders and across languages.
Niloufar, let's finish our conversation with a poem from Shamlou. Can you read one of your own favorites?
I have so many favorite ones. I can read Collective Love, the translation of Eshq-e Umumi. Tears are a mystery, smiles a mystery, love a mystery. The tears of that night were the smile of my love. I am not a tale to be told, not a song to be sung, not a sound to be heard, or something that you can see, or something that you can know. I am common pain. Cry me out. The tree speaks with the woods, the weed with the fields, the stars with the galaxy, and I speak with you. Tell me your name. Give me your hand. Speak me your words. Give me your heart. I have discovered your depths and spoken for all through your lips, and your hands are familiar with mine. I have wept in blazing solitude with you for the sake of the living, and have sung the most beautiful of songs in the darkest of graveyards, for the dead of this year were the most loving of the living. Give me your hand. Your hands know me. Oh, you found at last. I speak with you as the cloud with the storm, the weed with the fields, the rain with the sea, the bird with spring, and the tree that speaks with the woods. For I have discovered your depths, for my voice is intimate with yours.
عشق رازی است، لبخند رازی است، عشق رازی است. عشق آن شب لبخند عشقم بود. قصه نیستم که بگویی، نغمه نیستم که بخوانی، صدا نیستم که بشنوی، یا چیزی چنان که ببینی، یا چیزی چنان که بدانی. من درد مشترکم، مرا فریاد کن. درخت با جنگل سخن میگوید، علف با صحرا، ستاره با کهکشان، و من با تو سخن میگویم. نامت را به من بگو، دستت را به من بده، حرفت را به من بگو، قلبت را به من بده. من ریشه های تو را دریافتم، با لبانت برای همه لبها سخن گفتم، و دست هایت با دستان من آشناست. در خلوت روشن با تو گریستم برای خاطر زندگان، و در گورستان تاریک با تو خواندم زیباترین سرودها را، زیرا که مردگان این سال عاشقترین زندگان بودم. دستت را به من بده، دست های تو با من آشناست. ای دیر یافته با تو سخن میگویم، بسان ابر که با طوفان، بسان علف که با صحرا، بسان باران که با دریا، بسان پرنده که با بهار، بسان درخت که با جنگل سخن میگوید، زیرا که من ریشه های تو را دریافتم.
Nilufar Talebi is an award-winning translator, multidisciplinary artist, author, and producer. Her latest book is called Self-Portrayed in Bloom. Abraham in Flames will have its world premiere on May 9th through May 12th at San Francisco's Z-Space. For more information, please visit zspace.org. I am Mira Nablusi.
That's it for us this week. Voices of the Middle East and North Africa is produced at KPFA Studios in Berkeley.
Mira Nablusi is our senior producer. Our media partner is a Status Hour podcast and Jadalia Izin. You can find us on Twitter at @Vomina_radio or listen to our past shows on iTunes or SoundCloud at Voices of the Middle East and North Africa. You can also reach us by email at vominaradio@gmail.com. Please join us next week for another edition of Voices of the Middle East and North Africa, and thank you for listening.
This is a listing of upcoming events in the Bay Area. All events are wheelchair accessible. Immigrants from all countries are invited to consultations with attorneys on Saturday, May 11th at 9 a.m. at the Community Presbyterian Church, 200 East Leland Road in Pittsburgh. For details, call 925-510-0437. People impacted by incarceration can learn how to lobby for justice at a workshop on Saturday, May 11th at 11 a.m. at 6925 Chabot Row in Oakland. For details, call 510-559-0969. The film Horakan, Nations in Resistance, screens on Saturday, May 11th at 6 p.m. at 2868 Mission Street in San Francisco. For details, call 415-821-1155. The community calendar is produced by the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. Send your listing at least 4 weeks in advance to KPFA Box 51, 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way in Berkeley, 94704. Or email calendar at kpfa.org. Tell us if your event is wheelchair accessible. To hear this calendar again, call 510-848-6767, extension 621. This calendar is also online at kpfa.org.
Hello, I'm Joy Moore, co-founder of Farm Fresh Choice and a commissioner on the Soda Tax Commission in the city of Berkeley. I'm also a graduate of the First Voice Apprenticeship Program and a producer here at KPFA. The program is accepting applications for its Group 45. You can download an application at kpfaapprentice.org or call the station at 510-848-6767, extension 235. We're looking for you.
In the next 70 years, the people will rise up and the gun lobby will collapse. No-nonsense gun legislation will take hold and school shootings, suicide, domestic violence, and murder rates will evaporate. More common sense and less need for thoughts and prayers. In the next 70 years, your fiercely independent radio station will be here to cover it for you. 94.1 FM, KPFA.
You're listening to 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online worldwide at KPFB.